Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and hi, Charlene.
Hi.
Glad that you're with us tonight.
I am, too.
I wanted to discuss something on the show first before we take calls. So, callers, if you want to be on the show for a healing or a reading, just bear with me for a little while because I had something that I wanted to mention first. This was in addition to, to what I wanted to discuss, but as I was coming on the show today, Archangel Michael was at my side, and he showed me an image of the Statue of Liberty. And as you know, the Statue of Liberty holds up the torch. And the flame that was coming out of the torch was Archangel Michael's blue flame. It was gorgeous. And he is going to be on my show this Saturday, so tune in. He is coming with a host of, from heaven. They are going to be discussing ascension, and we'll take your questions. And when he showed me the torch and the vision of the Statue of Liberty, he says that they are about to release humanity from this dimension. So I just thought that was so beautiful. So tune in Saturday. I'm just as intrigued as perhaps you will be as to what they're going to discuss.
Wow.
So before, this was really what I wanted to talk about until Archangel Michael came in. You know, he always has my attention. Charlene, I saw something really interesting in the newspaper. And it was a little machine. And it's called the Respirate. And you put on headphones and you attach a sensor around your chest. And it measures your breathing rate.
Okay.
And then it has a little series of audiovisual guides. And what it does is it helps you slow your breathing down so that it is below 10 breaths a minute. And so this is an exercise that you do for 15 minutes, and you do it 3 or 4 times a week. And what they say is that this will bring down elevated blood pressure.
Oh.
Because when the vessels are tightening up, they narrow, and it causes the heart to pump harder.
Right.
And this machine, with its breathing exercise, relaxes constricted blood vessels to reduce high blood pressure. Well, as you can imagine, I was intrigued with that. You know, Charlene, that's like a bit of, you know, technology and, you know, physical, medical concepts, but I was intrigued with the breath. And so, of course, when I'm really intrigued with something, I'll go to the cherubim who work with the Akashic Universal Records, and I ask them how the breath connects the physical body to the etheric body, because, you know, with the work that you do, there's a lot of clearing that you do in the etheric body that has to do with physical ailments.
Right.
So the cherubim said, let's rephrase the question, and how does the breath act as a messenger between the physical body and the etheric body?
Okay.
Don't you think that's interesting?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
So
yeah,
they...
And that's true.
Yes. So yeah. They went through, they did this reading, and by the way, folks, rather than give all this information on the air right now, because we only have an hour and it just seems to zip by.
Right.
If you send me your email address and ask for this reading by the cherubim, I will send it to you. And that, of course, is Carolyn at carolynevers.com. com. So I'll just give you a couple of the highlights that they said, and then we'll take questions for healings or readings. So they were kind of given a little bit of a background, a lot of things that you're familiar with, Charlene, and I'm sure the audience is also, about, you know, the physical body is really a package that houses the soul.
Right.
And that the soul, though, planned to enter the life stream, and we're kind of along with that. And a blueprint was used, and we've talked about this quite a bit on the show, of course, that it was perfect as a design given to humanity by Source. And we also know that the soul has some discretion as to how the biology will support the missions. And we've kind of talked about that, too, you know, the how the planning beforehand and how we use, how important the DNA is. And they gave an example as to, you know, if your mission is to be a musician, a first-class world-renowned mission, then you have to have the necessary DNA. And so the soul then is going to select parents so that they have access to that DNA. So that was the reason that they were going that route, is so that we understand that our higher mind, that part of the soul that does planning, really does use a process of thinking. We believe that, you know, the thought is in the brain, but what they're trying to say is that, yes, that's true, the brain thinks and uses thought, but that planning process also is part of the soul, so that that soul force does planning also. And so basically they're drawing this connection between the physical and the etheric and thought processes. They bring in the spiritual and how all of this is necessary to function, and so that thought and thinking is not just just belongs to the biology, that our mind, that higher spiritual element, deduces, it has spiritual levels where it plans. And anyway, this is so fascinating because it goes into how necessary it is to breathe deeply of the life force. And it does relax muscles and veins, but it helps the body to connect to the higher spiritual levels in this dimension. And they said something really, I thought, that was intriguing, that when we cross over the divide between dimensions into the next dimension, that we're going to be changing our breathing cycle to a more relaxed breathing cycle. So anybody who is interested in this, a copy of this reading, let me know. I will be more than happy to send it to you in email. I find it positively fascinating because they really do lay down a good connection between the breath and the health of the physical body and the spiritual bodies, the etheric body. And anyway, I kind of thought this whole thing was rather interesting. Don't you think so, Charlene?
Right. Well, it kind of goes along with what we've been doing.
Yes.
Because before I even take them into the quantum field, what I do is about 3 or 4 deep breaths so that I'm bringing in the energy, so that when I bring it in, I can project it up again into the quantum field. So it's kind of what you're talking about, huh?
Because
mm-hmm. you've got to relax the breathing, you've got to relax the body, everything in order to go into the field so that you can hear clearly.
Well, that brings up this concept of stress. You know, if we allow ourselves to have stress build up, don't you think we kind of breathe differently when we're under stress? We breathe more shallowly, a little bit faster.
Right. A shorter breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if I have a client in front of me, when I'm doing the work on them, one of the things that I look for is how their breathing has changed. Also, I'll look and see a lot of times the color in the skin has changed. And in some cases, you'll see that their eyes have changed and they're more clear.
So oh, that's interesting. Tell me about the color of the skin. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's almost like I have one lady, she always calls and says, "Hi, this is Pinky," because she looked like she was anemic.
Uh-huh.
And when we went in and cleared the issues and put her in a more positive space,
mm-hmm.
what happened was her skin started having a pinkish glow to it. In other words, what it did was increase the oxygen into her bloodstream, and she started having the pinkish tonation into her skin
mm-hmm.
that she hadn't before. And everybody thought she's anemic, when actually there was some clearings that needed to be done that was actually interfering with that pink tone in her skin.
Charlene, let's get back to this subject again. But before, what I'd like to do is suggest to our audience now that we're going to be taking phone calls. We have a toll-free number if you're in the U.S., you're hearing our voices, you want to call in for healing, or you want some information about your own soul from the Akashic Records, give us a call, 877-876-5227. We also have a toll-free number from Canada, if you're listening to us from Canada, and that is 888-815-9756. So the concept of the breath I find so fascinating as let's talk a little bit about the emotions and the breath. I think we did touch on that a little bit, Charlene, with if you're under tension, you're going to be breathing more shallowly. And I think, did I understand this correctly? Is this true that when you start to work with somebody and start releasing some of this energy from the past, that you notice a difference in people's breathing, that they become more relaxed?
Right. Mm-hmm. As we're ending, coming to the conclusion of the session,
yes.
I will look to see what I will start to see the way they're breathing is different. There's a deeper breath. They just change. You watch their chest and see what it's doing, and it usually will end up expanding more, and you can see that happen.
We're going to get back to that, Charlene. Let's take this caller who apparently we said something that got him going.
Okay, good. Okay.
Who has joined us?
Hi, Carolyn. Hi, Charlene. It's Kim from Louisiana.
Oh, hi, Kim.
Hi. I have been listening this evening, but the reason I called in specifically was to ask if Charlene would be willing to do some healing for my brother. He's been really depressed and hasn't been able to go to work, and I believe through a dream I had, he's suicidal. And
he's
on
antidepressants,
but yeah.
Well, okay. Charlene?
What is his name, though?
His name is Jim, and that's what he's called. His name is James.
Jim?
James Richard Finley.
Oh, James, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and we call him Jim or Jimmy.
Oh, okay.
And my mom calls him J.R.
Oh,
so he answers J.R. everything. Yeah. Well, because, see, James Richard.
Uh-huh.
So, see? Yeah.
No, I was just thinking of that TV show.
Yep.
And so you're saying that he's very depressed?
Yeah.
Okay, let me look at it, okay?
Okay.
Let's go in and ask. And from Louisiana?
He's actually from Southeast Ohio.
Oh, okay, I have to know that.
I'm from Ohio,
okay.
Yeah. I live in Louisiana, but I'm from Ohio.
Charlene's going to take a little minute. You know how this works, Kim.
Yeah, I sure do.
For her to get into the quantum field. But you know what is so fascinating? When I was putting this article together from the cherubim, I happened to go to a website. It's called www.calm.com.au. And this gentleman goes through the different things that happen to people, pain in the present, is experienced as hurt. Pain in the past is remembered as anger. Pain in the future is perceived as anxiety or fear. Unexpressed anger redirected against yourself is held within and is experienced as depression.
Yeah, I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. Yeah.
And so you deplete your energy is what he's saying, that when your anger is redirected inwards, that you deplete your anger, deplete your energy.
Yep. Yeah, that's, I think that's really true.
You know, talking about anger, I think sometimes, and I'm not talking about your brother or you, I'm just kind of making a general statement here. Sometimes we're angry and we don't accept the fact that we're angry. You know, we deny it because in our society, it's not nice to get angry.
Right, exactly.
So,
an angry woman is called a bitch.
It's called a fit? Is that what you said?
A bitch. An angry woman is called a bitch.
Oh, okay. I kind of lost that. All right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
A witch with a B.
Kim, I need to ask you something.
Yes.
Has he always been, it looks like he's had depression for a long time.
Yes. He has, yes.
It looked like he had depression when he was younger.
Yes. It was serious when he was a teenager.
Like he kind of was a loner.
Yes.
Okay. So what has happened is, for a long time he has not been grounded. In other words, his body, spirit, and soul has not been grounded.
Yeah.
So God went in and changed all of that in the heart, mind, in the brain stem, then went up into the brain and changed his serotonin. Just 1 minute. Oh, he's telling me something. This minute.
Isn't this fascinating?
It is.
I just love hearing this stuff, Kim.
Yeah, it's so sacred.
Okay, what he's telling me, Kim, is he's got a DNA with that in it.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes. It runs
so
in our family.
He had to go in and change the chromosome within the cell memory in the DNA and pull that out and replace it with a new DNA, because it's coming in on from his ancestral line. Is
right.
that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, that's what he's showing me.
Yeah.
So what he's done is gone in and changed the serotonin in the hypothalamus gland.
Okay.
That chemical, he's in need of it. It's very low. In fact, you know, he tries to pull out of it, but he can't. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, part of it is he can't help himself because it's so low.
Okay.
So what's the answer?
Well, what happens is I went in and let me go in and look at that hypothalamus and see if it's been programmed to secrete. What it does is it secretes more serotonin. Because if that's so very, very low and the noradrenaline isn't in balance, then they have depression and they're just fighting it all the time.
Yeah.
Trying to stay on top of it. And it doesn't matter how much you've tried to encourage him, it's just low. He can't seem to get happy.
Right.
Okay, let me look at it, okay?
I just find this so fascinating, Kim.
She's right on. I had alcoholism in both sides of my family and
mm-hmm.
mental illness as well. And, and I know depression goes with, you know, alcoholism and depression go hand in hand. So.
You know, I'll tell you something that's interesting, because I've gotten this information from other readings that when the soul comes into this lifetime, they choose the family for certain reasons. Sometimes they have incarnated in that family line,
yes.
so that they're coming to clear the DNA from their own past. But if they enter into a new family line for some reason, they've got to clear that too. And so the beauty of what I'm seeing tonight is that your brother has taken upon himself the responsibility of clearing this in the DNA.
Right.
And here, you are here asking this for him. And
yeah.
And the beauty of it is here Charlene is working with God in it to affect this. I mean, I just find all of this so fascinating.
It is really
beautiful. Part of it is so what he did was God went in, and what we did was have it reprogrammed to the God intelligence, that it was that the intelligence is their imperfection. And so did a command that the hypothalamus now secreted the amount of the serotonin that is created in its perfection at the beginning, and also the noradrenaline. Now, this is also dedicated, like she was saying, to all family members that are dealing with the same thing. It not only deals with it from the DNA or past ancestry, but it'll also deal with those that come afterwards, because the chromosome has been changed.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been changed. What he does is, it's like, you've seen the chromosomes, right?
Yes.
Okay. What happens is all of a sudden you'll watch God take one of the ladders out that's in there and then replace it with a new one.
Yeah.
So that and sometimes it's not just one. Sometimes I've seen several of them for a certain issue be pulled out and replaced with new ones.
Yeah.
Because everything is supposed to be in its perfect form. It's kind of like what Carolyn was saying, talking about the ascension.
Yeah.
It's part of getting people prepared for their perfection.
Right.
And so at the beginning, when they were created, every single cell has perfect memory and knowledge of what its intent is, and so you take it back to that intent. And so with him, that's exactly what happened. Now, do you have past ancestors that had this same issue?
Oh, yes, I believe I did. I have, on both sides of the family, we have alcoholism. And I believe that, I believe that the alcoholism hid the depression. And
right.
Then on one side of the family, there was severe mental illness, maybe schizophrenia, and, you know, basically she lived her entire life in an attic by herself.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
See, you know, I have a real issue when they tell people they're schizophrenic. Usually in the past, those that were seeing spirits and angels and that's what their diagnosis was.
Yes.
And yet they were very psychic, very intuitive.
Right.
Because they could see on a different level than the normal person.
Yeah.
Well, Kim, you'll just have to call us back and let us know how your brother's doing.
I promise you that I will.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, ladies. Really, you're godsend, you're lifesavers. I'm so fascinated by everything that you have to say. One thing that you might want to consider doing for the topic of a show is tell us the journey that you took. Like, you know, I'm probably a generation younger than both of you, so I'm in my mid maybe not, but I'm assuming I'm in my mid 40s. And it's interesting to me when I think about, you know, what kind of journey you must have had, when you sound to me like you're closer to my mother's age, or even like my grandmother's age, than my age. You know, so I was, you know,
it depends on the knowledge that you've gained along the way and how soon you knew what your path was.
Where?
Well, some know it at a younger age than others.
Yeah, I think that's really
true. And that's what you're going to start seeing is we're going to have a generation of, let's say right now, of teenagers that, because it's such an open field of energy, that they're not having to move out of it because of the non-acceptance of having those extrasensory perceptions.
Right.
It's not quite as frowned on or looked down on as it has in the past. So a lot of people, let's say that in, like you're saying, like in your mother's age, maybe that was a real no-no. You know, you couldn't talk about it if your perception was false.
Right. Yeah, well,
if
my
it was
family.
Like if they're in the 70s, 80s,
yeah,
you couldn't have ever talked about it, even
yeah,
if you knew it.
My family came from Appalachia, so, and fundamentalist Christians, so I had my first past life memory when I went to the Smithsonian at 9.
Wow.
And I never told anybody until I was an adult. And,
mm-hmm,
and I never told anybody in my family until a couple years ago. So
yeah, see, that's basically, that's what's happening. So a lot of people that come to see me or call me on the phone, they've had all these intuitive and psychic abilities all their life, but they've never had permission, and they call and I'll say, oh, I can see that you're psychic. They say, oh, no, I'm not. I said, oh, yes, you are. And that it takes one psychic to know another. Well, I guess maybe I am a little bit. I said, oh, yeah, right. But what happens is they need somebody to say it's okay.
Yes, exactly.
You know,
there's another aspect of that, though, Charlene. And what I wanted to tell Kim is, take the musicians like Mozart, for instance.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mozart was a child prodigy. He, as far as I think I've got my history right, he was like 3 years old and he was
right,
writing symphonies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you take a person like that, he had other lifetimes, I'm certain, as a musician.
Yeah.
And so this was a... a memory?
Yeah, Carolyn, I remember like 15 of my past lives. So I'm not, you know, I totally understand that. It's just that none of the people in my family remember any of their lives. So,
you know, and a lot of people really, they thought that Ben Franklin was, you know, really off his rocker. They really thought there was something wrong with that man. Yeah. And because if you're different, people think there's something wrong, when in reality, you just have a higher vibrational frequency.
Yeah.
Well, what I wanted to add to that, you were talking about journey, Kim. I've done the kind of work that I'm doing now, I've done in many of my past lifetimes.
Oh,
and,
that's neat.
And Charlene, you probably have too.
Yes, I've been told that. I said, well, you know, when I leave here, is there a chance I could do it before? And he says, well, you already have. And I knew that I had had several lifetimes, and I came in again to complete the cycle.
Yes.
From one past life of healing and into the next one and into the next one, because each step has been a little closer to the higher vibrational frequency and also to the ascension.
Right.
And that's probably what you're saying you are.
Yes.
The reason I wanted to bring that up is because if there is ever something that you want to do in life, let's say there's a skill that you don't have right now and you say, oh, I would like to do that. Well, get started on it now, because by the time the next lifetime comes around, you might really be in perfection of that quality that you would like to pursue.
Yep.
Yep, good point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right.
So I'm curious about you, Kim. You said you remember these lifetimes. And did you say that you started remembering these when you were very young?
Yeah,
said
I was nine.
Nine.
Yeah, I was nine. I'm an artist, but I also have an advanced degree. I teach at a university. And, I'm really blessed with what I do, and I know I've done it before in past lives. I know I've taught before, and I know I've made my living as an artist before, so that's pretty neat.
Well, when you're talking about an artist, it just seems to me that you're accessing skills through a psychic aspect of your soul anyway.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree, yeah.
And so when you're doing art work, how do you get your inspiration?
I guess I would say it's almost kind of like I channel it. You know, it's
you channel
like,
it. Yeah. I figured you were going to say that.
Yeah, I do. I do. I don't tell lots of people that, but
Like
somebody has teased me, like, why do you never sign your artwork? It's like, well, would you sign a stone? Why sign a stone? It's just natural. It belongs there to the world. So, yeah, so that's kind of why I'm kind of reluctant to sign my work, especially on the front. But, yeah, so it does.
But you know,
seem like
on the other hand, about on another aspect of that, Kim, I understand what you're saying. You feel like that kind of skill belongs to the universe, but
right.
In essence, you are bringing that through your own personality. Yes. So even though you feel that way, this is just my point of view, and it might not ever be your point of view, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with putting your name on it. You might not have originated it per se. However, you cooperated with it.
You're right.
You worked with it diligently enough.
Yes.
Stayed with it. You had the discipline.
Right. You're right.
So why shouldn't you have the right to put your name on it?
You're right. I usually do put it on the back, but not all the time. So.
Mm-hmm.
No, put it on the front.
Yeah, well.
Because part of it is if I have somebody that I'm working with and I said, oh, it looks like you're going to write a book, and they'll say, well, I've always wanted to write a book, but, you know, I don't think I'll write a book because I don't know how. And I said, well, your book is already written. All you're doing is you're going to bring it to the physical level now, where
yeah.
it becomes the holistic,
right.
which means that it's permanently with the energy on this universe. So you
right.
need to put your name on it because
I gotcha.
Of your vibrational frequency needs to be on it. Okay?
Yeah, claim it. Thank you so much, ladies. Have a blessed evening.
Okay,
you
bye.
You too, Kim.
Okay, bye-bye.
I just get so fascinated, Charlene. We come on the show, we get some ideas as to what we're going to talk about, and it is just so fascinating how spirit just decides what they're going to bring
right.
forth.
That's what my sister said. She says, well, what are you going to talk about? I said, I don't know. I said, I think the Lord has something in mind, and that's his decision, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, God or people's higher source is in charge of what will serve them best and serve, you know, why we're on in the first place.
While we have a law here, Charlene, how about giving your phone number out in case there's people who
okay.
want to contact you for a private reading?
Okay, thank you. 801-944-9346.
And what time zone are you in so people don't
I'm
call you in the middle of the night?
Yeah, right now it's 6:35 Mountain Standard Time.
That's what I wanted you to say, Mountain
right.
Standard.
Yeah, it's Mountain Standard Time.
So yep, Charlene is there in the mountains.
I certainly am. In fact, I'm right at the foothills of the mountains. And we had a little snow this
year. Cool. Is this early for snow?
Yeah, maybe not in the tops of the mountains, no.
Mm-hmm. No. We have another caller, and your name, please.
My name is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hi. I was just wondering if Charlene can do anything with addictions.
With what? An addiction?
With addictions?
Yeah.
Do you need to know what addiction that is, Charlene?
Usually addictions are, it can be emotional. It can also be low serotonin. Like we were just talking to Kim, and she's saying there's alcoholism in the family. Usually those kind of addictions are because there's low serotonin, and the addiction like alcohol, cigarettes, different types
uh-huh.
of addictions will raise the serotonin, but it only is a temporary fix, and so then the person has to have repeat it again. But it brings it up so they feel better.
Charlene, I'm asking you, darling, do you need to know what addiction Betty's talking about, or is just addiction in general enough for you to work on?
Well, I can tell her it's cigarettes. And,
okay.
My mother smoked and. I started at 23.
Okay, then it's cigarettes. Betty would like to not be smoking cigarettes anymore.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. That's why I'm asking you. Is it true? See, there on some level it's really hard to get. You know you shouldn't, but on some other level you enjoy it. So part
yes,
of it is after.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I do enjoy it, but I don't want to do it anymore.
Okay. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to bring up. Part of it is
yeah.
you're kind of fighting yourself on it. So
yeah.
what we have to do is go in and change how you feel about giving it up.
Okay. Wait a minute, Charlene.
Yeah.
People do a lot of things that they enjoy and they don't want to do anymore.
Well, she enjoys cigarettes.
I'm funning with you, dear.
Yeah, I know you are. Because what you do is you enjoy it, but you know you shouldn't enjoy it. So what you have to do is you have to change how you feel about it. And usually cigarettes, if you're doing the metaphysical, it's usually covering up how you feel. You know, it's kind of a, what they call a smoke screen of your feelings. So,
hey, Charlene, is that evil or spice in your life?
Could be both. So part of it is having permission to change how you perceive yourself, or is it easy for you to speak up for yourself?
Probably it's not easy for me to speak up for myself.
I know that, yeah. In other words, we have to have it permission to change that I speak up for myself in a kind, positive way. Is that true? Oh. Would that work for you?
Would that work for me? Yes.
Yeah. 'Cause see, you can do all you want about releasing the addiction, but you've got to go in with the emotion associated with it. In other words, let's say that you upset about something, then somebody picks up a cigarette and smokes it instead of speaking their truth.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Oh, because with a cigarette, you're using your lips.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of speaking and speaking your truth, because if a person has grown up thinking, I can't speak up because there will be a consequence, so they start stuffing it down, and they use other ways of keeping it from being expressed. And so if we can release that, would that help you a lot?
I think so.
Okay.
I'll try anything.
Yeah. Well, have you had consequences if you ended up speaking your truth or how you feel about something? Is it okay for you to feel or even say something that's contrary to those that are around you?
Well, I do at times, but, you know, I don't like to hurt other people's feelings, that's true, but I'll just be silent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then you pick up a cigarette.
Probably.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of
I'm running, aren't I?
what happens is there's a purpose that it serves. And so you could tell the person not to smoke anymore, but you got to take in how it serves them and release it as well and put a positive in. In other words, I speak my truth in a kind, positive way, and others accept my truth as a positive, you see?
Uh-huh.
And then what happens is all of a sudden you're saying things are coming out of your mouth to say, well, this is how I feel about it.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Because if you feel like that if you spoke your truth, that somebody's going to criticize you for it?
Uh-huh.
Pardon?
So, probably, because there's not a whole lot of people around me who are willing to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't feel like I can speak it, I guess, because they're not maybe awake or they don't see things the way I do.
Okay. Okay, so what you're telling me is we also have to put in there, it's safe for me to speak my truth. Does that sound more? What else has to be put in?
Yeah, probably, uh-huh.
Okay, because it has to be safe, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it has to be that when you speak your truth, that others are going to accept it and not, what is usually the reaction, and we'll pull it out.
Some of them look at me like I'm crazy or I'm from another world.
Would you call that ridicule?
Yes. Well, not ridicule. It's more like judgment and criticism.
Oh, yeah, judgment.
Yes.
But I was really asking Betty how she felt about that. Would that be judgment, Betty, or ridicule?
I think it would probably be, I guess, maybe judgment because they don't believe the things that I believe. I mean, it's just they're too attached to the three-dimensional world and don't really know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
These are things that I like to talk about, but they're not received. They look at me like I'm, you know, from another planet, which I imagine I am.
You might be. Okay, but what you want is a positive response, don't you? Or if they don't give you a positive response, I think we all get to the point where if we don't have a positive response, it doesn't affect us. We can look at it and say, you know, it's an issue that they have, but it isn't mine. And
yeah.
Then you have confidence in yourself that everything's okay, and it's okay for them to have their opinion, and it's okay for you to have your opinion.
But, Charlene, people don't always get to that point.
Well, but
that would be the ideal thing.
Yeah, but the point of it is, it's what is inside her, not whether they do it or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's what
well, you know, truly though, Charlene, I don't really care what other people think about me.
Ah, well,
in a way.
Then I guess we'll be able.
I mean, that means I'm not going to change how I believe or how I feel.
Okay.
You
okay,
know,
then it should be easier for you to give up the smoking.
Well, what do I?
No, I'll go in.
Okay.
Who's your higher source, God or universe or what?
Beg your pardon?
Who is your higher source?
Who is my higher source?
She means God, the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that.
All of it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I'll go in with God and we'll make the change, okay?
Great.
Okay, thank you.
How many years have you been smoking, Betty?
Well, I'll be 67 pretty soon. The coach at my school got me talked into it at 23, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back then it was a desirable thing. Everybody smoked. It was kind of smart, you know.
He wanted me to socialize with him, and, I was so young and foolish.
You know how I gave up smoking, Betty? This was before I met Charlene and was involved in this kind of work. I said I could smoke as often as I wanted, but I had to put my cigarettes in the trunk of my car.
I tried that trick.
Oh, you did?
I get up with a flashlight in the middle of the night.
No, I wasn't willing to get up with a flashlight in the middle of the night. So it had been a while since I'd smoked, and I had this pack of cigarettes in the trunk of my car. They were pretty stale, and I got desperate one one day, got in the trunk of my car and took out a cigarette. Oh, my golly, it was so terrible. I
was
threw it
good.
Away. Huh?
What?
I don't know. What did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
I said the cigarette was probably awful.
Oh, it was terrible. I threw it away, and I don't think I smoked after then. It's not an easy habit to kick.
Oh, my gosh. I have struggled with this.
Have you tried?
I really hadn't got to the point where I could just... I mean, I when I think about it, it seems like I want to smoke more.
I worked with acupuncture. That worked for me, too.
Well...
Yeah, they put a little clip in your ear.
No, I haven't tried that.
I think... You're going to do what with that thing? It's like a little staple. And they put the staple in this acupuncture spot, and when you wanted to smoke, you'd wiggle this little staple.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I will
Sounds
tell
like
you,
fun.
You can't wiggle the thing out. Yeah, that was an experience. You want to do what with that?
Oh, well, Betty. I tried hypnosis once, but I went right out to the car and lit up. That didn't work.
Usually people that smoke, usually you'll see them. I saw an accident yesterday, and if somebody smokes, as soon as they had the accident, and they could, they got stepped outside of their car and started to smoke. Because that's the way, it's a means of releasing stress.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah,
now
that's what
right this moment, it's kind of interesting, because usually if somebody is using cigarettes or some of that, sometimes it's because they're low serotonin. But yours is coming more in supporting you in an emotional way. So your spiritual body, your mental body, your emotional body, and your physical body was released from that. And that you were totally clear. Also cleared you on the DNA and cleared that in your ancestral line. You know, that what you feel and think is what your soul is seeing and understanding. And that you're right for understanding it and seeing it.
Well, that's wonderful. Beautiful, Charlene. Now, what about her stress level? Let's say she doesn't smoke anymore, but she's under stress. How is she going to handle that?
Because she will be able now, he put in that she would express herself and understand how she feels more clearly. And
that'd
you won't use other means for releasing the stress. You'll just say, you know, I am really stressed. Now, one of the things he told me to do was have you take 5 deep breaths and blow it out. And when you're blowing it out, feel yourself releasing the need to smoke cigarettes when under stress. Okay?
Okay, so every time I feel like it's stress coming on, take 5 deep breaths?
Yeah, well, do it now. He said you're tucking it in right now. And blow out and see yourself being free to express yourself in a positive way, and that it's safe for you to express yourself in a positive way.
I'll dance at your next wedding if this works.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Not usually if I'm doing somebody for addictions, it's usually they're turning around and changing the serotonin, but his saying that yours is more on an emotional level.
Isn't
well,
it
if it had been 2 or 3 days ago, it probably would have been serotonin. I'm just coming back up.
You know, what's interesting, Charlene, is
yes.
that you're talking about the breath again, like we were talking
in the
right. beginning.
Yeah, and actually, if you get in stress, he's just saying, take some deep breaths, blow it out. What you can do is you inhale through your nose, in through your nostrils, and breathe out through your mouth. You're bringing in the new and releasing the old. Bringing in the new and releasing the old. Okay? And you just do that. And if you, there's some other exercises that a person can do that releases that.
Like what?
You can put your thumb and your finger together. You know, when you see somebody doing,
mudra.
Meditating, you know, and they put their thumb and their finger together and they breathe in and breathe out.
You're talking about your thumb and your first finger, right?
Yeah, your thumb and your first finger. On both
while you're doing your breathing?
Yeah, on both hands. On both hands. And it's kind of like when yoga. You know, you see people doing that, yoga?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what you're going to do. You breathe in, you put your tongue behind your front teeth, you breathe in, drop your tongue, and breathe out. Breathe in, and breathe out. Always put your tongue behind your front teeth.
Okay.
When you blow in, when you breathe in, and then you drop your tongue and breathe out. And see the stress being released. Release it, because that's what he said. You were still tucking it all in when I was working on you. Okay.
I was still doing what?
You were tucking in.
You were holding on to it.
Yeah, you were holding on to it rather than letting go. And that's why he's saying have her breathe, have her do some deep breathing, because she's hanging on to it.
Okay.
So that's what I'm having you do is release it. Release it through your breath. Okay,
and
anytime you're under stress, doesn't matter whether you're in the working or where you're someplace else, what you'll do is you'll start seeing the way your chest is responding and your breathing, kind of like what Carolyn was talking about at the first of the show.
Uh-huh.
Is part of that breathing that changes, and it changes the energy within you.
Okay. What does the fingers have to do with it, Charlene?
Well, what it does, it makes a rotation of energy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're breathing in, you're dropping your tongue, you're breathing out, but at the same time, you're making that infinite symbol. You see what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
almost like an
uh-huh.
eight.
Yeah.
And it's that eight that you're doing, and you're doing it with
sense.
The breath.
This breath thing is very, very important. I mean, it runs through everything I've read.
Right,
mm-hmm.
it is. You just got to
yeah.
have the breath in order to clear things. You want to push it out. You're going to push the stress. When somebody gets stressed, the first thing that we do is we go, right? We suck it in.
Yeah.
And we're in stress. So then
yeah.
you take the cigarette, and of course, what happens? You draw in the smoke, and you release it.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to
yeah.
do it without the cigarette. You can do the same principle, but without uh-huh. the cigarette. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
And that's,
oh, that's
how the cigarette serves.
Well, y'all about to run out of time. I better get off. Thank you, Charlene. Thank
you're
you, Carolyn.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Betty. You know, that was interesting, Charlene. When you were talking about when people smoke, how they inhale and they exhale, is it's making the infinity symbol.
It is. Well, when they're doing their fingers together, when they put their fingers together and they're doing the breathing exercise, it's like there's the infinite symbol
mm-hmm.
because it's going through the one hand, back up through the other, but it's going up through the nostril, it's going up through the breathing apparatus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing the whole thing. So if they do that when they're under stress, instead of, well, when they pick up a cigarette, that's what they're doing. They're releasing the stress by inhaling on the tobacco
mm-hmm.
and exhaling.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing the same principle, but they're using a prop, and that's the cigarette.
Well, I think that's a fascinating observation. Something that I want to mention to people at my website, CarolynEvers.com, right-hand corner at the top, conference calls. My conference calls for the month of October are listed. Check that out. We now have incredible individuals from spirits coming on the conference call, so go look there. And also tune in on Sunday, where Archangel Michael is going to be working that show. We're going to be channeling him. And then Saturday, he is bringing in the host of heaven, going to discuss ascension and answer your questions. So both of those should be really some interesting shows. Charlene, how about we probably have about 5 minutes here if somebody wants to call in, but why don't you give your number out one more time?
Okay, 801-944-9346. Well, why don't you give your telephone number again?
My website is www.carolynevers.com. Yes, exciting things are happening, aren't they?
Well, I think they are, you know.
Yeah.
As I discuss things with people, and they're in such tremendous fear of the future, and I say, oh, my goodness. I mean, I just watched a thing on the news where this girl was given an artificial limb. She was born without, you know, an arm and a leg, and she's walking and using her artificial limbs. I mean, how wonderful is that?
It's beautiful.
It is wonderful. We live in a marvelous time, and I always say we had such a hot summer. How grateful I was
mm-hmm.
that I had air conditioning. You know, we forget those things, and
indeed
we don't
we do.
Give thanks for the opportunity to have air conditioning or to have heat in the winter or gas for our cars. We forget to give thanks for those marvelous things.
You know, you were working with Kim, and I was talking to her about some things that I've seen on another website, and you happened to be talking about people were anxious about the future, and this is what they mentioned, that they're talking about pain in the past is experienced as hurt. Pain in the present is experienced as hurt. Pain in the past is remembered as anger. Pain in the future is perceived as anxiety or fear. And, yes, I do think, I would agree with you, Charlene. I think there's a lot of people who are concerned about the future and are feeling some anxiety about it.
Well, that's kind of our job, isn't it?
It really is.
That is our job. Our job is to give people the sense of peace and tranquility that comes with living in a time when we know that we can move into a different space and not be in that. And
Charlene, we have 4 minutes, darling.
Okay.
Is there something that perhaps you want to mention in a minute or two where you've seen some changes in your practice, you know, where people are coming now with perhaps different agendas or different problems or some shift?
What are you asking me?
Well, I think we went through a period where we were doing a lot of clearing from the past, and I think that we've had a lot of physical pains,
right? Okay.
And then we're doing clearing. It just seems like the issues have been changing within the last month or two.
Well, part of it is to go in and know that we can change whatever that past was that was a negative.
Mm-hmm.
And God will go in and pull out the vibrational frequencies of your feelings and your thought patterns and the behavior that resulted from it,
mm-hmm.
and put you in the present time and ask you, what is it you want now? And you set your goals for yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then watch them happen. I mean, I watch people, you know, sell houses, buy houses, do businesses, all these things that they didn't think was possible, and seeing, I mean, those are fun things, but they're wonderful things that you want to have in your life, and God's willing to put them in your field.
Well, I love it, and I love you, Charlene.
Thank you,
love
Charlene.
Love all of my listeners, saying goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Tune in Saturday and Sunday, two exciting days. See
okay.
you all.
Okay.